I was watching.
And see, that's the thing. None of this has anything to do with her. Her inability to find a husband, nothing to do with her. It's, yeah, the patriarchy did this, and the Christians, those fucking Trump supporters, you know, white men, because they're just not supporting enough of trannies. There's a whole litany. I would bet money that if we got some women together and asked them, they would come up with at least 300 reasons why it's not their fault that they can't find a good man. Not one of those 300 reasons would be them.
That's why when it comes to chicks, I just screw them and leave them. I say, get out of my bedroom, poontank, before you suck my life dry.
You know, for someone who wasn't in a mood for podcasting today, I'm sure doing pretty good now that I'm warmed up.
Everything.
I gotta go do. I have one errand I gotta run to. I don't gotta do it, but I'm gonna do it. I gotta go to the butcher shop and stock up on meat.
They can do it all, but if they can do it all, why the hell?
I need dead animal.
Giving the most resources to the people who should have the fewest children. Well, we're taxing the intelligent people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are.
The less intelligent people.
It's not a joke.
Society is getting worse.
Enjoy the decline, guys. Enjoy the fucking decline. Women are getting worse. That's for fucking sure.
Number 11, they acquire pets instead of putting in the work to land a quality
my fur
man.
Baby.
When a woman gives up in life, she buys a dog.
It's true. That's like, I mean, that is a thing. Like, if I'm seeing a girl and it's like, you know, do I want to ask her out? She's got a dog. I've definitely factored that one in.
Trigger warning. Bats.
And you say, well, great one. Isn't that about as shallow as she didn't want to date you?
Why is it?
We're buttering your toast. No, this isn't the second date. Well, if I find out, here's the thing though. If chicks, we've been over this before. If a chick's got a dog, she may as well have a fucking kid. Because you gotta walk the fucking dog. You gotta take the dog out. You gotta pick up the dog shit. It's pretty much exactly the same as having a job where you spend your entire day taking care of retarded people. I mean, the dog can't fucking function on its own. They're retarded wolves. They can't even shit without a human standing there to tell them, oh, good girl, you shit all by yourself, oh, good girl. This is why cats are superior. You can put the cat in the house, give it a cat box, you give it some water, give it some food, you can go away, come back 3 days later, the cat's still there. The cat's like, who the fuck are you?
No, they're not.
What the hell are you doing in my house?
It's a testament, oh, wait. Just in general.
Oh, hold on. I think, aren't you the dumbass that opens my cans for me so I can eat? Oh, okay. That's right. That's fine. You can come on in. Dogs, you leave a dog alone for 5 hours. You come home, there's dog shit on the floor. There's a fucking puddle of piss over here. Your fucking couch has been eaten. By the way, girls are unreliable, just in case we hadn't mentioned that in this intro series today. Good morning, children. How the fuck are you? Say, we're doing all right. Great one. You know why we're doing all right? We're doing all right because we are not 44-year-old single mothers who have slammed into the wall. Good point. Good point. We are always, no matter how fucking pathetic and sad and fucked up our lives get, none of us are 44-year-old wall-hitting single mothers. And aren't we, you know, in my journaling, and I remembered a while back I came on the podcast and I said that each podcast I was going to say something that I was grateful for, it just went by the wayside a long time ago, and I remembered that and I've been thinking about it. It's like, here's the problem though. A lot of times when I start these off, I'm not in the mood to be grateful for something, and it's not necessarily that entertaining, guy, because I just want to turn on the microphone and just start screaming, you know, kill Jews and, you know, darkies and women are stupid and poopy heads and you know, whatever. The manospheres are fags and gays. I just want to start yelling and shit because that's way more entertaining. At least it's more entertaining for me. Great one. Is it entertaining for, I don't care if it's entertaining for you. I'm here for me. I'm like a woman. This is all about me. Guys, this is my day, okay? Right now, you're listening to this podcast. This is my day. My day. This is my day, not yours. I don't care about you. I'm just like your ex-wife. Don't care about you. It's all about me. Give me money. I'm just like your ex-wife. Give me money. I don't care about you. Remember, you can go to the website. There's a Cuck Bucks thing you can get. You can donate through the PayPal. There's Bitcoin addresses. And of course, if you need the archive, if you're new around here, you want all the podcasts from the Cynical Libertarian Society, that's me, the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 19 years. 19 years! 19 fucking years of podcasting. Who's right, who's always right, who's always been right, always been right, who had never been wrong. You can get every podcast I've ever recorded, along with a fuck ton of other stuff. Some anime and some, I don't even remember what's on there, girl pictures and shit. No, just whatever. You can get all of this. You can buy this. Yes, I am going to make a profit because I'm a fucking capitalist pig. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, gratefulness, gratefulness. I don't do the grateful thing, partially because I forgot, but now that I remember it, because it just breaks up the rhythm sometimes. But I can honestly say, this is not a joke, I wrote in my journal, because I journal each morning, well, almost every morning, unless I'm really busy or playing Star Wars or drunk or working. I wrote in my journal, because in the journal each day I do what things I'm grateful for. And it was either yesterday or maybe the day before, in the grateful section, I wrote, not making this up, I wrote, I am grateful I'm not a woman. I really am. I'm not saying that to be funny. There are times when I think, man, if I was a chick, how easy my life would be. I put my titties on OnlyFans. People give me money. I do like this video where I'm crying about how I have to go to work from 9 to 5. And I do my makeup before I did the video. And I'd make sure you couldn't really see my body so you couldn't tell if I was fat or not. You know, and I'd be sure to put my fucking OnlyFans address on the video so people would come and also give me money. They might come, but I just want them to give me money. Then I realized that the disadvantages of being a woman, I'm not sure they outweigh the advantages in the long run. Short term, yes, which works because women only think in short term. And so I'm sure that women are running around going, I sure am glad I'm not a man. I'm sure they are. I'm sure that the ones that do journaling, I bet they write down, I am grateful I am not a man. But that's because she doesn't have any understanding of the existence of the future. There's no future for her. There's only the present. There's only her emotions. There's only her feels in the moment. Well, that and, of course, the simps that are giving her money on OnlyFans. All right. You say women are storytellers. Can you explain what that means? Lori's answer. Women tend to make these judgments so quickly about a guy because women are more natural storytellers, and we do want to know how the story will end or at least progress. We're sitting there across from someone on a first date, and we're thinking, is this somebody I can imagine myself in a relationship with, as opposed to, is this someone I can imagine myself having another two-hour dinner with? And there's a big difference. Some women say that's smart because I don't want to waste my time with someone that I'm not going to end up in a relationship with. How do you women know if you're going to end up in a relationship with someone or not? Once again, like, you can figure this out after you've gone out with a person one time. Yet you women can't figure out how to change the oil in your car. You can't figure out how to open a jar of pickles. But you can figure out whether or not you're going to end up in a relationship, whatever the fuck that even is, with a man after a two-hour date. You can't figure out quantitative easing. You can't figure out, 45% of you can't figure out where the vagina is. A number of you who teach in public schools can't figure out that you're not supposed to have sex with 13-year-old boys. But somehow or another, you can figure this out. You can't figure out why you're a 44-year-old single mother that can't find a good man, but you can figure out after only 2 hours whether or not you're going to be in a relationship with a man or not. I don't want to waste my time with someone I'm not going to end up in a relationship with, but you have no idea who you're going to end up in a relationship with. We get ahead of ourselves because the bar is so much higher for that relationship question than the second date question. We're using the relationship criteria to decide whether we want to go on a second date with him, but really we need to use the second date criteria. The fact that it took her 44 years to figure that out, we're going to put that down as another red flag. She's up to 9 red flags now because she's dumb. I have never, when evaluating if I should ask a girl out a second time after we went out the first time, I've never thought to myself, well, gee, you know, is she relationship material? Question, your dating coach in the book tried to get you to break up with the list. So she has a dating coach. Does this mean like she has someone coaching her on dating? This person's obviously not good at it because she's not dating anyone. Your dating coach in the book tried to get you to break up with the list and be more open to different types of guys. Have you changed your dating ways since writing the book? Answer, it was very hard for me in the beginning. Yeah, it was hard for me in the beginning too. Then I blew a load on your face and it got soft. It was very hard for me in the beginning. It's hard to adjust our perceptions a little bit. No, it's hard for you to adjust your perceptions because you're a woman. You believe anything you see on your cell phone. You're dumb. It's hard for you to adjust your perceptions. It's hard to adjust our perceptions a little bit and be a little more open to the idea that what we think of as our type might not actually be the kind of guy who will make us happy. There was a woman I talked to who is engaged to a guy she met on Match.com because she didn't notice the guy checked the has kids box. She said she would have never gone out with him if she had noticed that he had kids because she didn't want to get into a relationship with somebody who already has kids. Yes, girls, your extensive picking. You know what? I can't really fault her on the kid thing, though. I really can't. But here's the thing. It worked. Now, will it continue to work out? Are they going to get married and be happily married forever and you know, contribute to civilization? Is she going to stay home and take care of the... Who knows? Once again, that's why I say on my list, even the tattoos and the piercings and the weird color hair is negotiable up to a point. Even the kids, you know, the hot single mother I met, I'd have gone out with her. Once again, I'm not saying I'd have married her. We've been through this already. I'm not saying I would have married her and wifed her up and taken care of another guy's sperm. Would I have taken her out and bought dinner for her? Yeah, I'd do that. And who knows, maybe she'd be so amazing that I'd wife her up and take care of another man's sperm. I doubt it. But I'd take her out. I'd fuck her. Because you know she fucks. She's got a baby. Well, unless she had the kid on her own. Maybe there was no man involved. Question. Why do? Can anyone tell us why? Why do many women... No. There are not many. Why do all... Yes, all women are like that. Why do all women... So, man, let me tell you something. Here's another podcast I really need to do. This is an episode of Watching the Decline because it will definitely be visual. I need to create a fake account and go on OkCupid. It could be any other dating site, I guess. It's just that the Cupid one is the one that I know. And go through the profiles and show you the ugliest women you've ever seen in your life. And they start their bio off with this list of demands. You know, I'm not here for hookups. I'm polyamorous or whatever it is. And if you can't handle that, you're going to be second to my husband and my kids. You need to move on. Like this list, these are the ugliest. These are women. I'm not saying, and they're not saying they're chubby. They're women. They are fucking obesely fat. with this list of demands. All women have this unrealistic list of demands. Again, I have a list of demands. Once again, being thin and blonde is not unrealistic. Difficult to find, yes. Scarce, yes, but not unrealistic. How, all right, why do all women have the list in the first place and unrealistic expectations of men? The answer is because they're stupid. Answer, we don't realize that we do this. Ladies and gentlemen, let me read this sentence to you one more time. This is a red flag. Let me scratch 10 red flags. We don't realize that we do this. Women do not realize they have a list of unrealistic expectations for men. Women do not realize they do this, otherwise known as women do not have self-awareness, which I have been telling you for how many fucking years now? Oh, great one. You're sexist. You hate women. No, women don't have self-awareness. Has nothing to do with me hating women. I hate women. Don't you worry your pretty little head. I fucking hate women. But that women don't lack self-awareness because I hate them. These two things are totally unrelated. We don't realize that we do this. No, you don't. That's also, however, not an excuse. See, we don't have self-awareness. We don't recognize that we have unrealistic expectations that are really stupid. Your inability, ignorance of the law is not an excuse. Ignorance of your own fucking actions, ignorance of yourself is not an excuse. It doesn't pardon you. It doesn't let the slide. You're still a dumb bitch. Just because you don't know you're a dumb bitch doesn't mean you're not a dumb bitch. We don't realize that we do this. I didn't realize I was picky. She didn't realize that she's picky. See, I recognize that I'm picky when it comes to girls. I am perfectly fucking aware. She had no clue. And here's the thing. It's not, she's a Jew. She's got an IQ of what? So we're probably around 360, 370? Because Jews are the smartest people on earth. That's why they're overrepresented in positions of power, because they're so much smarter than the rest of us. So even with her Jew Q of 370... she did not realize she was picky. Girls, there's a reason why men hate you. There is. Trust me on this. I think, no you don't, you're a woman, you do not think. I think a lot of women have the same attitude as I did and have thought, quote, I'm not picky, I just know what I want and I have high standards, unquote. Yes, I'm sure that's exactly how every woman rationalizes it. Now, she continues, I'm not saying to anybody to lower your standards. No, of course not, because no woman should ever lower her unrealistic standards. I'm just saying, have high standards about what really matters in terms of making you happy. It's not about looking for the perfect person. It's about looking for the perfect partner for you. Who do you want to go through life with? See, here's the problem. Most women, not all, most women are not going to be able to figure that out, because that's the sort of question you have to have self-awareness to answer. Women don't have that self-awareness, right? Well, he's got to be pro-abortion. And he's got to have six-pack abs, and he's got to believe in global warming, and he's got to be fully vaccinated, he's got to drive a nice car, he's got to put his butter on the bread the right way, and he's got to be 6'4", and he's got to make $600,000 a year at least. Women are completely incapable of figuring out what's really important to them. Again, because women only exist in the moment. To sit here and say, well, what's really important to me? You have to be able to look into the future. Okay? So the great one goes, what's really important to me? Well, Supergirl statues. Okay, I got those. Now what's really important? Well, the decline is coming. There's going to be a collapse. There's going to be a race war. To participate in the race war in the future, like this way, what's going to be important? What am I going to need to participate in the race war? Ammunition. And things that shoot the ammunition at other people. And therefore, what does the Great One invest in? Supergirl statues. So it's called humor. Women don't have it. A woman would go, well, what does a Supergirl statue have to do with ammunition? Because they're not very smart. So when, that was funny. That was a joke. But women, I'm serious. Women cannot evaluate what's going to make them happy long term because they don't have a concept of long term. Question. You say in the book that men have more realistic expectations in dating than women. Why? Mostly it's because men are not stupid. That would be the main reason, is we're not stupid. But also a lot of men just have really low standards. Here's her answer. Men are much better able to compartmentalize. Women think that the guy they find has to be everything. Men think, quote, I have to be in love with her, but she doesn't have to be everything, unquote. And again, that's exactly true. Right? As men, we're like, hey, you know, I love my girlfriend. I'm going to go do something for the entire weekend and not see her. She doesn't have to be my fucking everything. She doesn't have to entertain me every moment of my fucking life. Again, women, because they constantly need attention, women require you to always be paying attention to them. Women, if you're dating a woman, she wants you to, most times, again, there's exceptions to this. I've dated the girls who are exceptions to this, okay? We're talking about 44-year-old single mother wall hitters, okay? This is a woman who needs the man she's dating to constantly be paying attention to her. Quote, your book has sparked a lot of controversy. Why do you think this book strikes such a chord and sometimes a nerve with people? Lori's answer is this. I got two really mean letters. One said the reason you are still single is that you are ugly. Hooray for feminism, right? Well, but that is one of the reasons you're still single. It's because you're not attractive. Like, girls, you being ugly, as much as you don't like this, if you're ugly, men are not going to be interested in dating you. The fact that women still can't figure this out. Women can figure out that working 9 to 5 sucks balls and it's not fun, but women still, even with TikTok, even after being triple vaxxed, women still cannot figure out that good men, the 6'4" with the 6-pack abs and the 600,000. Good men are not interested in dating ugly women. Girls are still clueless on this. The other one said that I was a sorry excuse for a human being or something like that. Something like that. I don't really know what it said. I'm not even really sure why I'm answering your question with these two examples because they don't really answer the question. The question is, why do you think the book strikes a chord with people? That was the question, but I'm going to talk about myself. I want to talk about these people who sent me hate mail because I need to get the focus off of the book and back on me. Because I'm a woman. And like Schrodinger's a cat, if somebody's not looking at me, if I'm not being observed, I cease to exist. It is striking a chord or a nerve, but most of the mail that I get, other than those two, has been extremely positive. The bloggers are the ones who are saying, I've never read this book, I'm not going to read it, but I hate it anyway. It's kind of like reviewing a movie based on the movie poster. The irony of that kind of thinking is that they're doing the same thing in their dating life. I'm sorry, what do you mean that they're doing the same thing in their dating life? You have been doing the same thing in your dating life. See, no, see the projection. So this 44-year-old single mother wall hitter, all of her life up until now has been going on dates with men and then making snap decision judgments based on the snap decision judgments of them based on little to no information. She then writes the sentence, the irony of that kind of thinking is that they're doing the same thing in their dating life. Notice how she takes what she's been doing for at least 24 years, if not longer, and projects it onto these other people. Because that's one of the things women are good at, projection. They're judging the book by its cover, and that's the same thing as looking at a guy on a first date and saying, he's wearing a brown belt with black shoes, I know I don't like him. Which is exactly what you and all these other single wall-hitting women have done. That's why you're still single. Question, where does the provocative title come from? This title is not provocative. A provocative title to a book would be, Why All Women Should Be Stripped Naked, Tattooed with Barcodes, and Sold Like Cattle. That would be a provocative book title. Once again, women are so easy to manipulate that a book, what's the name of this book? The Case for Settling for Mr. Good Enough. To women, that's provocative because it's so easy to hurt their feelings and it's so, in our society, it's so wrong to hurt their feelings. Because that is a violation of the prime directive. If a woman experiences discomfort, emotional discomfort counts, then you have me too'd her. Answer. The title is based on a survey in the book where men and women were asked if you got 80% of all, if you got 80% of all of the ideal qualities you want in a partner, would you be happy? 80% of all the ideal, not all, the ideal qualities. See, now we're talking about, this is a different list. This is a different list from would I go on a date with a girl a second time. Now, if you're saying, great, what's your ideal list of qualities in a girl? Right? We don't have time for me to do that list. Okay, but if someone came to me and said, you could get a girl, a girl with 80% of those qualities. Okay, based on a survey, men and women asked if you got 80% of all the ideal qualities you want in a partner, would you be happy? 93%. It doesn't say percent. I think they meant to. It's the sentence says 93 of women. I think it's supposed to say 93%. 93% of women said, you already know what they said because you're not stupid. 93% of women said no. That is settling. I'd be very unhappy with just 80%. 93% of women. If a man had 80% of their ideal qualities, that's not good enough for them. And John Berger's solution in Datanomics is that you need to go to college and make more money so you can man up and marry these whores. And most of the men said 80%, yeah, I'd be thrilled. That's a catch, which is true. Again, you're a man. If I get a girl at 80% of my ideal qualities, I'm down. Sounds great. I mean, if there's anything that's even more unrealistic than my desire, you know, for a 20-year-old tall, thin blonde with no tattoos. Because my ideal qualities, that's a hell of a list. 80% of that, now that, if someone's a great one, there's no woman on earth ever who will have 80% of your ideal qualities. That's probably an accurate statement. So if you said 80% of my ideal, I'm there. Anyway, the question is, can we be happy with less than everything? The answer for women is no, because it's called hypergamy. You women pretend, like the wall, it doesn't exist. And between the wall and hypergamy and your susceptibility to lies, this is why you make TikTok videos where you cry about working 9 to 5 and how am I supposed to find time to meet men? Why do you want to meet men, sweetheart? No man you meet is going to meet your standards. What's the point? Just go straight to the fucking turkey baster insemination and get a fucking fur baby. You can marry your career and you can have your day. My day. Maybe you could marry the turkey baster. Question is, can we be happy with less than everything? Well, not if you're a woman, you can't. In fact, we could change the question. We could say, the question is, can we be happy? The answer is, if you're a woman, no, you can't. And the answer is, not only can we be happy, but the people who aren't looking for everything, the people who are looking for that 80%, are the people who are the happiest in their lives and their relationships. Question: explain the Mr. Good Enough part. Answer: what it means in the title is that we're all Mr. and Miss Good Enough. Evan, my dating coach, told me to forget for a second about what I was looking for. He asked me to write down a list of all the things that a guy would have to put up with to spend his life with me. Once again, see, we covered this already, right? Women never ask, is this guy I want willing to put up with my shit? I mean, this is actually, whoever Evan, the dating coach, is, this is actually a really good exercise, and I think all women should have to do this. Again, this is the thing. If I had a daughter, and she's going to start dating and everything, I'd say, all right, sweetheart, today we're going to do a little exercise. It's called push-ups. Now that we're done with that, we're going to do another exercise. I want you to sit down and write up a list of all the bad habits and bullshit you do and that blah, 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 that a man who is going to marry you would have to put up with. Go. And she'd say, well, but daddy, I don't have any bad habits. I'm your daughter. I'd say, excuse me, bitch. You have all, I've lived with you for 18 years. I know all your bad habits. You better start here. Let me go get you some extra paper. Okay. I mean, if a woman was going to marry me, God forbid. I mean, she's got to put up with this right here. She's got to put up with me going in the room, screaming at the internet, being like, yo, Jew and nigger and kike and kill trannies and shit. Like, so, you know, fuck. Women, have, again, women from their perspective, they're perfect. They're out, they look at themselves and they see perfection. We men, we are not like that. We all know that we have faults. All my girlfriends put up with my bad habits. I was aware of this. Anyhow, to continue, it never crosses our mind that someone else is going to have to compromise because we're all taught that we're such a catch and every guy would be lucky to have us and you go girl. And she's exactly right about that. That's exactly what women are fed. That's exactly what they're told. Oh, you're a princess. You know, a man would be lucky to have you. They're all told this shit. Any man would be lucky to have you. Sweetheart, if you're a woman and you think that a man would be lucky to have you, that's called a red flag. That's why, once again, we're back to this is why you're single. If that thought has ever seriously gone through your mind, if you ever said that, wow, you know, a man would be really lucky to be dating me. I've never in my life thought, man, that girl would be really lucky to be dating me. I've looked at a girl and thought, I'd like to fuck the shit out of her. I've looked at a girl and thought, I'd like to take her out. I'd like to take her out, buy her dinner. She's interesting. I think I could talk to her. I have never looked at a girl and thought, she'd be really ducky. She'd be really lucky to be dating me. That kind of bullshit has never gone through my fucking mind. Never. But women, this is what happens inside their brains. Men would be lucky to date me. Fucking Christ. Woman, you're a goddamn basket case disaster. A man who's dating you is putting up with your shit. This is why I always say that no matter how good looking, no matter how beautiful a woman is, somewhere on the planet Earth, there's a man who's tired of her shit. Girls, there's ain't but so much we're going to put up with. And no, we are not lucky to be dating you. Luck had nothing to do with it, right? We weren't just walking down the stairs and we accidentally tripped and just luckily landed on dating you. The way you were walking down the stairs and you tripped and you just accidentally landed on going to college for 4 years to get a worthless diploma and then applying for a job in the city and then accepting the job in the city because you wanted a career because you're strong and independent, right? We don't just trip down the stairs and accidentally land on things. If a man is dating you, he's not dating you because he's lucky. He's dating you because he did the work, because he approached you, because he took a chance, he talked to you. You weren't a complete fucking cunt, which your acting skills were good because we know that you're a bitch. And there it is. He's not lucky. No man is lucky to be dating a woman who thinks that a man would be lucky to date her. A woman who thinks, oh, men would be lucky to date me, is a cunt. You're welcome, girls. But we're less than ideal in some ways to whomever picks us, even if he's totally in love with us. We're all imperfect. We're all good enough. But once you fall in love with someone, they're Mr. and Miss Right. It's not about the mythological Prince Charming. It's about finding the guy you're totally in love with and the guy that is going to be this good enough guy who happens to rock your world. God, I hate the fucking things women say. He rocks my world. Oh, shut up. Get your bitch ass in the kitchen and rock me a pie. Question. You say good first daters don't necessarily make good husbands. What do you mean? Answer. Just because a guy isn't the smoothest first dater doesn't mean he's not going to be the husband you're going to fall in love with and spend the rest of your life with. And just because a guy is really smooth and charming on the first date doesn't mean he's going to be a great husband. The fact that women need to have that explained to them once again illustrates how absolutely out of touch with any kind of thinking they are. Yeah, just because someone makes a good impression for 2 hours on the first date doesn't mean this is husband or wife material. And just because somebody goes out with you and the first date is a disaster doesn't mean they're not husband and wife material. Like, women need to have the most simple, basic concepts that the rest of us figured out when we were, you know, I mean, let's be honest, figured out when we're like early 20s. When we figured some of this shit out, but we figured this 44 years old, she's just figuring this shit out. Question, how is dating a better experience for you now than before you went through this journey? Answer, I'm so much happier now. Oh, she's happy. Okay, do you have any results? Are you in a relationship? Do you have a husband? No, she's happier. I'm happier. I'm just happier. So much happier. It's all about me. My emotions, my feels. I'm so much happier now in terms of my dating life than when I was doing it the other way. Dating used to feel very out of control in the sense that one day destiny will bring him until then you feel helpless. When am I going to meet the guy that I'm going to connect with? I was making it so much harder on myself by restricting myself to all these little things that would disqualify a guy early on. Now the glass is half full. I really like all the things about this person, and then you can see if there's more chemistry. And if people are more attracted to you as a person because you're more appealing when you're more open-minded, less rigid, more flexible, and less judgmental. Well, that's true, but there's no such thing as a woman who is less judgmental. We now continue. There's another interview with her. This is from CNN. Blah, blah, blah. I can skip a lot of this. 43-year-old single author, single mother by choice, feels misunderstood by those who are outraged. Quote, the firestorm is with women who literally say on their blogs, I haven't read the book, have no desire to, but here's what I think about it. Unquote. Lori said, you're reviewing a book you've never seen, but you hate it. Okay, we covered all that. CNN. Okay, here we go. CNN. What is it in your mind about the book and its message that got some women so worked up? Lori, I think it comes from the title. Wrong. The thing in your book that's got women worked up is the idea that they should settle for less than their list of perfection. That's what has women upset. Because women have all been told, we just covered this, that any man would be lucky to get them, and they're a catch. And they can go girl. And their list is not at all unreasonable because they deserve everything on that list. That's why women are upset about the book. I think it comes from the title, but I'm wrong because I'm a dumb bitch and I don't have any self-awareness. The title is used to really get women to think about what settling means. There's a survey in the book where men and women are asked, if you get 80% of everything you wanted, of your ideal traits in a mate or partner, would you be happy? The majority of women said, no, that's settling, and the majority of men said, 80%, I'd be thrilled, that's a catch. So the question is getting less than everything we want truly settling? And more important, semantics aside, is getting anything less than everything we want going to make us less happy? The answer is no, and it will probably make you more happy. CNN, what about the term Mr. Good Enough? Lori, well, we're all Mr. and Miss Good Enough. You fall in love with the wrong person, fall in love with the right person, till you fall in love with the person who sees you and recognizes you as the right person for them. In our culture, good enough is not good enough. Oh, you mean our culture that's controlled by women? Because when our culture was controlled by the patriarchy, good enough was good enough. Now that our culture is controlled by women, you're right. Good enough is never good enough. It's called hypergamy. Men don't have this problem. My cell phone is good enough. A woman, she needs the newest iPhone. I could beat this dead horse for hours with a baseball bat. It's called hypergamy. Our culture is controlled by women. And no, good enough is no longer good enough. It's called hypergamy. They think that it means lowering your expectations and lowering your standards. There's a difference between lowering your expectations and lowering your standards. Lowering your expectations is saying, be realistic. We covered all of this already. I explained this to you. If you just put us all in a dating lineup, we're not going to get perfect ratings from the world at large. We should lower our expectations in the sense of we have to realize nobody is perfect. If you have unrealistic expectations, it's going to be hard to find a human being who can meet them. But lowering our standards, no. So you don't want to lower your standards, just lower your expectations. I could try to unpack that a little bit. It's not worth it. Okay, question. What is it about women, based on your survey you mentioned, that makes us think getting only 80% of what we want is settling? Lori, it has to do with this idea that we should have it all. We misinterpret what that means. Nobody said having it all was finding perfection. And again, reminder, you can't have it all. Nobody can have it all. All. All encompasses the entirety of the cosmos. Again, women don't understand this because they're dumb. It's impossible to have it all. Nobody really has it all, but I think having what will make you happy is probably a much better way to approach life. Not just dating, but life. In fact, in the research, it shows that people who have this have-it-all attitude are depressed. Well, yes, because if you're sitting around thinking that somehow or another you're entitled to everything, like if you're sitting around thinking that you're entitled to more of your ex-husband's money, then yes, you're going to be having a terrible time in your life, as opposed to recognizing, wow, this is great. This guy isn't married to me anymore, and now I can be with the guy I was dating while I was married to him, and he is giving me some money. So I've got some extra money that I wouldn't have had otherwise. See, no. When you want it all, yeah, you're going to be more depressed. Question, what can women learn? Women cannot learn. What can women learn from men? Nothing, because that's mansplaining. What can women learn from men when it comes to how they approach dating? Lori, there are a lot of picky men out there, so this isn't about all men and all women, but I did talk to hundreds of men and women, single and married, for this book, in addition to the researchers and scientists. Talking to men was eye-opening. Guys, talking to men was eye-opening. So apparently for the first time in her life, even though she's dated all these men that weren't good enough, which is why she's a 44-year-old single mother, right? For the first time in her life, she talked to men. It was eye-opening. For all these years she's been dating men, she never had a clue that men have a completely different worldview about dating than she does. You know why? Because she never talked to any of them about dating. She went on dates with these men and she talked about herself. She paused long enough to take note of their flaws, and then she resumed talking about herself. We're going to put this down as red flag number 11. Talking to men was eye-opening. Men and women were asked if they had any deal breakers for going on a second date, what would those be? Men named three. If she's cute enough, warm and kind, and interesting to talk to, she gets a second date. Men are not going, am I going to marry her? Men are like, do I want to spend another 2 hours with her? And again, that's exactly true, right? We get to the end of a first date with a girl. Am I going to marry her is nowhere even close to my brain. That is farther away from my brain than Pluto is. Question, how did women respond? Answer, women named 300 things that would be deal breakers for a second date. We're talking a second date, another 2 hours with a person. And they were things like, quote, you know, we were having a really good time, but then he did this Austin Powers impression, and it just so turned me off. I can't get that out of my head, unquote. Well, if she goes on a second date with him and he starts doing Austin Powers impressions, okay, then dump Mr. Austin Powers guy. Don't go on the third date. Absolutely not. Who wants that? Maybe someone who likes Austin Powers. I've never seen the Austin Powers movie. I don't want to see it. I don't care. But the point is, who wants that? Well, maybe someone does. Maybe she thinks it's endearing. I don't know. But again, yes, if it's annoying and he does it twice, that's a different story. That's annoying. But the thing is, there's no correlation between the guy who's the nervous first dater and the guy who's going to be the great life partner that you're going to fall in love with. The smooth, charming guy who sweeps you off your feet on the first date, that's not saying he's going to be a better life partner than the other guy. But once again, women are dumb. They can't project into the future. They're easily fooled when their vaginas are getting wet, even though they don't know where the vagina is 45% of the time. Question, why do women do this? Oh boy, we're going to find out what her level of self-awareness was. I've read all this in advance, but I honestly don't remember any of it, so it's like I'm doing it cold, even though I pre-read it. Oh, we're back to this. Why do women do this? Answer, women are really good storytellers, and they want to know how the story is going to end. And so they want to know pretty early on the first date, is this going to lead anywhere? Once again, we're on our first date. Is this guy going to marry me? Like, you girls, you are you are getting way fucking ahead of yourselves. Like, seriously, you really need to calm down with any man is lucky to have me and I'm such a catch. Like, you're on the first date and you're thinking about marriage. You need to calm the fuck down. Is this a guy who I could see myself in a relationship with? And if Austin Powers isn't on their mental checklist of what this guy is supposed to be like, they're out of there. Question, what have you been guilty of doing? Self-awareness test. Answer, well, I'll tell you, laughing. The guy I ended up dating in the book, okay, is she dating him in real life or just dating him in the book? The guy I ended up dating in the book is a guy whom I wouldn't have even emailed on Match.com because, hey guys, You want to take a wild guess why she would not have even emailed him on Match.com? Do you want to take a wild fucking guess? It's not that hard. You already know the answer. I wouldn't have even emailed him on Match.com because he was 5'6". Now, I'm 5'1" and change. 5'1" and change. So only being 5 inches taller than her, that's not good enough for her. Because you see, any man who's 6 foot or higher, well, he would be lucky to be dating a Jewish girl boss, single mother, who doesn't just have a child, but had a child by herself. Any man 6 foot tall or taller would be lucky to date her.
Hey, women, you shut your mouth and make babies.
And no woman will treat you right. Not these days. They're all a bunch of whores. Gotta tear up that caboose. Spank that ass. Remember, guys, you can spank your girl's ass all you want because she doesn't need to sit down to make you a pie. She can do that standing up.
What is attractive in a woman
is making me a pie. That's what's attractive in a woman. When I look in the kitchen and I see a girl in there and she's making me a pie,
it has happened to me.
That's beautiful.
It's just a wild case of immaculate conception. I can't believe I have to bait these kids. They should be able to dance on the water.
Number 14.
Yeah, hell, I had these kids by myself. Why do I have to bathe them?
Quality girl and a good catch. Newsflash, guys don't care about your stupid office job or nonprofit gig.
That's how men are, because we're a bit more goal-oriented. Women are all about production.
Right now, my goal is to go to the butcher store, buy a bunch of dead meat, and then I'm going to come home. I'm going to play Star Wars. I'm going to smack things with a fucking lightsaber. You know why? Yeah, men playing video games, that's a red flag. You know, it's just so immature when men play video games. Well, because, sweetheart, playing video games is a lot more interesting than you are. You are not a catch. You're boring. You're not cute. You're not interesting to talk to. You're not warm and personable. You're boring. And that's why I'd rather play video games.
The Rock says you should know your role and shut your mouth.
every woman who gets pregnant out of wedlock or without a committed man says, I was on 19 different kinds of birth control. I must have been taken up by space aliens and impregnated through my nose with a squid tentacle.